All right, so we're diving into a world that's a little shady, but also super fascinating. Short selling. More specifically, those high-stakes maneuvers known as short attacks. We got an awesome report here, Anatomy of a Short Seller Attack History, Symptoms, and Solutions. And we're going to pick it apart and pull out the juiciest bits. So you walk away from this deep dive feeling like you could be a financial detective.
I like it. Understanding short selling is super important for anyone, really, who's interested in how the financial markets actually work. Doesn't matter if you're an investor or just curious about how businesses operate, these tactics have a real impact.
Yeah, it's like a financial thriller. Someone's betting against a company, hoping it struggles so they can profit. Sounds a little ruthless, but as we dig in, I think we'll see there's more to it than meets the eye. So, first things first, what exactly is a short attack, and why is it considered such a threat to companies?
Well, at the heart of it is short selling. Basically, an investor borrows shares of a company they think is overvalued. They sell those shares at the high price and then wait for the price to drop. If it does, they buy those shares back at the low price, return them to whoever they borrowed from, and pocket the difference.
Okay, so that's short selling 101. But when does it become an attack?
Right. The attack part is when the short seller isn't passive. They don't just wait for the price to fall, they try to force that drop. They might release reports designed to spook investors,
Spook them how?
talking about accounting irregularities, hinting at weak management, maybe even suggesting hidden risks, anything to create doubt and send the stock plummeting.
So it's not just a financial maneuver. It's like a calculated PR hit job with real-world consequences. Reputations on the line, people's livelihoods at stake. This report even highlights a case from back in May 2023. Carl Icahn, legendary investor, right? He was targeted by Hindenburg Research. They're a well-known short seller. And their report ended up costing Icahn a serious chunk of his personal wealth.
Yeah, that was a big one. Definitely a reminder that this isn't a game. Real companies, real people.
Wow. High stakes. Okay, so we see why understanding these tactics is so important. But let's shift gears for a second and look at this from the company's side. What makes a company a target for these short sellers to begin with? What are those signs of vulnerability?
Well, the report breaks down vulnerabilities into two main categories. Long-term issues, those are more structural, you know, and then there's short-term triggers, more immediate red flags.
It's like examining a company's anatomy, looking for weak points.
Exactly.
Okay, let's start with the long-term stuff. What are some examples that really jumped out at you from the report?
Well, one that's really interesting is what they call executive interim status. So imagine a company, they've got an interim CEO who's struggling to make any real changes. That lack of clear direction, big red flag for short seller.
Makes sense. It's like a ship without a captain. You just know something's not right. What else?
Another big one is regulatory challenges. Let's say a company's entire business model is suddenly threatened by some new regulations. Maybe they're profitable now, but their future is uncertain. Huge risk factor. Short sellers will absolutely try to exploit that.
Yeah, regulatory hurdles can completely change the game. What other long-term vulnerabilities did they point out?
Oh, financial reporting irregularities. Short sellers love those. Think non-recurring expenses that somehow keep recurring, or maybe consistent delays in those crucial financial statements. Any inconsistency raises questions about transparency and financial health. Short sellers, they're like those financial detectives, always sniffing those out.
Looking for cracks in the foundation, seeing if the whole structure might be shaky. Okay, but what about those short-term triggers? What are the more immediate red flags that signal a company is ripe for a short attack?
One interesting one they call out is sandbagging. This is where it gets a little sneaky. Imagine employees secretly talking down their own company online, hinting at problems that haven't been publicly disclosed yet.
Whoa, that's a betrayal from within. You mean like anonymous posts on forums? Or cryptic messages on social media.
Exactly. It's like insider trading, but with words. A gold mine for short sellers looking for an edge.
Makes you wonder who to trust. What other short-term triggers should companies be watching for?
Keep an eye on executive departures. A sudden exit, especially of someone important like the CEO or CFO, can really shake things up. Often suggests internal issues.
So it's not just about the numbers, it's the people at the top.
Right.
Any sign of instability, lack of confidence in the leadership.
Alarm bells are ringing for those short sellers.
They're looking for any leak in the ship.
And when they find one, they're ready to pounce.
Okay, so now we're getting a sense of what makes companies vulnerable and what these short sellers are looking for. But what happens when they actually strike? Is it game over for the company? Can they fight back?
Oh, absolutely. Companies have ways to defend themselves. The report lays out some really interesting strategies.
Okay, that's good to hear because things were starting to sound a bit grim for those companies. So, what kind of tactics are we talking about?
Well, one common one is share buybacks. The company uses its own funds to buy back its stock from the market, reduces the number of shares available, which can boost the stock
No,
price.
it's like a financial tug of war. The company's trying to pull the price up while the short sellers are pushing it down.
Exactly. It's a way for the company to show confidence.
Bold move. What other strategies do they have?
Another key one is assembling a crisis team, a dedicated group of folks, executives, and advisors ready to respond to a short attack. PR specialists, legal experts, investor relations people.
It's like a war room, but for finance.
Right. Speed is key. They need to hit the ground running with clear and compelling information.
Sounds intense.
It is. They might release statements, hold press conferences, or even take legal action.
Like a high-stakes game of chess. Anything else?
One of the best defenses is actually proactive engagement with shareholders. It's all about building those relationships, being transparent about the company's operations, their strategy, their financials.
So get ahead of the story. Build trust before a short seller can even strike.
Exactly. Think of it like building a solid reputation. Makes it harder for someone to come along and try to tear it down.
Makes sense. Open communication is key. But I'm curious, are these defensive moves just about surviving an attack? Or can they make a company stronger in the long run?
That's a great question, and it leads to a fascinating point that the report makes. A lot of the best defenses against short attacks are actually just good business practices in general.
Ah, interesting. So defending yourself isn't just about putting out fires, it's about building a more resilient business.
Exactly. Strong corporate governance, clear financial reporting, open communication with investors, those all make a company less vulnerable to attack. But they're also just good for business, period.
Right? It's about running a tight ship, making sure everything's above board. So even if a short seller comes knocking, they won't find anything to grab onto.
Right, they'll see a well-run, transparent company and realize there's no easy money to be made here.
I like it.
What's fascinating is that this report, even though it's focused on short selling, it's actually full of insights that could help any company improve their operations and become more resilient.
Oh, that's great. So even if you're not worried about short sellers, there's still a lot to learn from this world. It's all about being proactive, being prepared, and running your business in a way that inspires confidence.
Absolutely.
Well said. Now, we've talked about the mechanics of short selling, we've looked at what makes companies vulnerable, and we've touched on some of the strategies they can use to defend themselves. But what happens after a short attack? How do companies pick up the pieces and move forward? And what can they learn from the experience? Let's explore that a bit more.
The aftermath of a short attack, that can be just as crucial as the defense itself. The report talks about the steps companies should take to not just recover, but to actually emerge stronger and more resilient, using the experience as a springboard for growth.
Oh, I like that. So it's not just damage control. It's about turning a negative into a positive.
Exactly.
So what does this recovery process look like? Where do they even begin?
Well, the first step is damage control, understanding the impact. How did the attack affect their stock price, their reputation, their relationships with investors?
Right, because even if they fended off the attack,
Yeah.
there's still going to be fallout.
Absolutely. Investors might be nervous, and those doubts about the company's stability can linger.
It's like rebuilding trust after a relationship mishap. You
Yeah.
got to acknowledge the issue, take
Yep.
steps to fix it.
You got it. And that's where communication is key. Clear, consistent messaging can help rebuild trust. Companies need to be upfront about what happened, address any concerns, reiterate their long-term strategy.
Reassure everyone that the ship's still steady. Actions speak louder than words.
Definitely. And a good investor relations team, they're like a skilled therapist, you
Yeah.
know? Proactive, reaching out, calming those nerves.
So it's a lot about managing perceptions, making sure the company's message gets heard. But is it just about talking? Or are there concrete actions they should take?
Well, communication's essential, but it's got to be backed up by action. The report emphasizes that companies should investigate the claims made by the short seller, even if those claims seem totally baseless.
So even if the accusations are exaggerated, there might be something there, a grain of truth.
Exactly. A thorough investigation shows commitment to transparency.
Shows they're not hiding anything.
Right. Plus, they might even uncover internal weaknesses they didn't know about.
So a chance to learn and grow, even from a negative experience. But who leads this investigation?
Usually a special committee, often independent board members and external counsel, keeps it impartial and credible.
Shows they're serious. But what if the investigation does find some issues? What then?
Well, things can get interesting then. The company might need to take corrective actions, strengthening internal controls, making changes to their management team, maybe even changing their entire business strategy.
So it's not just about weathering the storm, it's about coming out stronger.
Exactly.
Adapting to survive.
Exactly. And this is where a strong, independent board of directors is so crucial.
They gotta be willing to make tough decisions.
They are the guardians of the company's future.
Okay, so we've talked about damage control investigation, but what about that longer-term recovery? How did they win back investors?
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Proactive engagement is key. Communicate the strategy, address any weaknesses, paint a picture of the future.
Show them why they should invest.
Exactly. This might involve investor conferences, industry events, even one-on-one meetings.
Rebuilding those relationships.
Exactly.
Showing stability. It sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it's worth it.
But what about the legal side of things? Are there legal consequences after an attack?
Ooh, that's a good question. It can get tricky. The legal landscape around short selling is always changing, but the report does highlight some potential issues.
Okay, like what?
Well, one possibility is securities class action litigation, investors suing the company because they feel they were misled.
Wow, so a lot of potential legal fallout.
Yeah, it can be a minefield. That's why good legal counsel is essential.
Not just a financial game anymore.
Right.
Okay, but let's zoom out a bit. Beyond the legal stuff, what are some of the broader implications of short selling? How does it affect the whole market?
That's a great question. It gets to the heart of the role of short selling in a healthy financial system. Some people argue it can actually be a positive force.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Think of short sellers as a watchdog, you know, sniffing out problems that might otherwise be missed, exposing fraud, keeping companies accountable.
So they contribute to a healthier market, even if their methods are a little aggressive.
Exactly. The report makes that point. Short selling can be a catalyst for positive change.
But I'm guessing there's a downside too.
Of course. One big concern is market manipulation. Short sellers might spread false information just to make money. And that hurts innocent investors.
Using information as a weapon.
Right.
So how do we balance the good with the bad?
That's where regulation comes in. Finding that balance between allowing short selling to do its thing while also protecting investors.
Sounds like a tough job.
It is.
A lot of complexity.
Definitely.
But important to understand.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered the tactics, the defenses, the recovery process, and even the broader implications of short selling. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, ownership intelligence. It sounds like it's vital, not just for defending against attacks, but for making good business decisions in general.
It is.
So can you tell us more about what it is and why it's so important?
It's all about knowing your audience. But in this case, your audience is your investors. Ownership intelligence means understanding who owns your company's stock and what drives their decisions.
So it goes beyond just knowing the names of the big players.
Exactly. It's about their motivations, their strategies.
Like having a map of your investor landscape.
Exactly.
And the report says this knowledge can be a game changer when it comes to those short attacks. How so?
Well, by understanding their shareholders, companies can anticipate how they might react to a short seller's report. They can see who might be swayed by negative information and who's more likely to stick with them.
So it's like knowing your friends, you know, who believe a rumor and who will have your back. Tailoring your communication.
Right.
Building those relationships.
It's not just about reacting to an attack. It's about preparing for one.
Makes sense. But how do companies actually gather this ownership intelligence? What tools are they using?
Well, there's a whole range of resources out there, from specialized data platforms to good old-fashioned networking. But let's dive into that fascinating world a bit more in the next part of our deep dive.
We're back, and we're ready to unlock those secrets of ownership intelligence. It's like having a secret weapon, right? This deep understanding of your investors and what makes them tick.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
So spill the beans. What are some of the tools and strategies companies are using to get this intel?
Well, one way is to use these data platforms that track stock ownership and trading. They give you granular detail on who's buying and selling, how long they've held the shares, even their voting patterns.
So you're not just relying on public filings or chance encounters at shareholder meetings. You have hard data.
Right.
You can really see what's going on.
Exactly. And that data can be really helpful in building your investor relations strategy. Like, let's say, you know, a particular investor tends to get spooked by those short seller reports. You can reach out to them directly, address their concerns.
It's like playing chess. knowing your opponent's moves.
Exactly.
But is this just about those big institutional investors? Or does it apply to individual shareholders too?
That's a great point. And the report actually emphasizes how important it is to understand those retail investors, especially now with social media and online trading. Right, anyone can be an investor these days. And those individual shareholders, especially when they get together online, they can have a lot of influence.
They can.
Like a swarm of butterflies, tiny on their own. But together, they can create a pretty powerful force.
I like that analogy. And the report really stresses that companies need to be keeping an eye on what's happening online, forums, social media, even those chat rooms.
So it's like having your ear to the ground, but digitally.
Exactly.
Listening for those whispers and shouts. Okay, so ownership intelligence is a powerful tool, but are there any downsides? Anything companies need to be careful about?
Well, one challenge is just the sheer amount of data. It can be overwhelming trying to process all that information. You need the right tools and the right people to help you make sense of it all.
So data is only as good as your ability to use it.
Right.
It's not just about collecting it. It's about turning it into something useful.
Exactly. And another thing to keep in mind is ethics and responsibility. You got to be careful about privacy concerns and be transparent with investors about how you're using their data.
So it's about building trust, not breaking it.
Right.
It's not just about having the data. It's about using it the right way.
Exactly. And I think that's a key takeaway from this whole discussion. It's not just about mastering the financial tactics. It's about doing things the right way. Good governance, transparency, building real relationships.
Well said. We've dug deep into the anatomy of a short seller attack. We've explored the mechanics, the vulnerabilities, the defenses, and even how companies can turn those vulnerabilities into strengths. And we've uncovered this power of ownership intelligence, a secret weapon for making smart decisions.
It's all about knowledge. Knowledge is power. When you understand what's happening in the market, who your investors are, and what they want, you can make better choices.
Absolutely. And the report leaves us with a really interesting thought. If companies can apply this level of thinking to defending against attacks, imagine what they could achieve if they use that same energy for other challenges.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about.
Could they be more innovative? Could they connect better with customers? Could they even make a bigger impact on the world?
It's all about using information to build a better business.
Well said. So, on that note, we're going to wrap up our deep dive into the world of short selling. A huge thank you to our expert for joining us, and to you, our listeners, for coming along for the ride. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and never be afraid to ask those tough questions.